You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm here without Joe this week, but we have a great guest for you at the half hour. Benjamin Gilmore wrote the book Paramedico, Around the World by Ambulance. It is a incredibly fast read. Talks about the difference in ambulance drivers, paramedics, and the medical care you get in different countries, and has some really great observations in a number of countries. We'll get to those and their importance. We also have the top medical news of the week, obviously. That's what we do most weeks, and this is no different. We have a great set of stories for you. The top five, in my opinion, a limit on consumer cost is delayed in healthcare law. What that really means for you, what that means when they delay some of the individual protections in Obamacare, and I'll tell you some things I didn't know about the law that are beneficial for you already, as dental care and what is covered and mandated by the law. Not need sleep? Well, exercise does help insomnia. That's what the data say, but not right away. In other words, you exercise today, you don't get the benefits today. You will get the benefits if you consistently exercise, but it takes some time. So sleepy, it takes a few weeks for it and better habits to help you get better sleep than just the better habits alone. Colon cancer is linked to your mouth's bacteria. This is a interesting story because we've known for a while that periodontal disease is associated with diabetes risk, is associated with miscarriage risk, is associated with risk of arterial diseases such as heart disease, stroke, memory loss, even impotence. Well, now we know that it's actually associated with colon cancer. And we're going to talk about what you should do about it. Will there be an antibiotic in everyone's future as a routine, not just in other, if you will, the future of animals? Animals get it routinely to help them grow, at least they have been. But now we know it may be important for you and your growth, at least your prevention of certain diseases. Social media, what's the best motivator for health? We know there are two types of motivation. That's that intrinsic to you, what you're doing for your own well-being, and those that are things extrinsic for you, like you're being paid to do something. Well, it turns out social media has said the best motivator to change health may be cold, hard cash. The best motivator for sustaining those changes, I think, are intrinsic, and we'll come back to those intrinsic versus extrinsic, and what's the data. And perhaps the most important set of studies this week were on sugar. Sugar was associated, that is, blood sugar, your blood sugar, was associated with your risk of mental decline. People who weren't diabetic but had a blood pressure of 150, had a blood sugar, sorry, a blood sugar of 115, had a 25% or so greater risk of developing dementia over the next 10 years than these 65-year-olds who had a blood sugar of 100. So in that range of normal, or what we call normal, it looks like it increases, the blood sugar level that is increased increases your risk of mental dysfunction. In diabetics, 190 versus 160, a 44% increase in risk. That is, when your average reading was 190, and we judge that by your hemoglobin A1C. What your hemoglobin A1C is your blood sugar over a period of time. All hemoglobin A1C is the hemoglobin molecule with a glucose attached to it. So your hemoglobin molecule with a glucose attached to it, that's hemoglobin A1C, and the more blood sugar, the higher your blood sugar over the whole month, the higher your hemoglobin A1C. So it's a very interesting molecule. It essentially integrates your blood sugar. That is, it calculates your blood sugar over a month and higher, if you will, risk of dementia or mental dysfunction. How much higher? That 190 versus 160 was about a 40% increase in risk of dementia. And that's a big, big risk. So, and the other study was one in mice where just giving them the equivalent of three sugary 12-ounce drinks a day to the mice. That's not what the mice had. They had that equivalent, if you will. Would have been probably drops of 1 cc, 1 milliliter, one small amount of sugary drinks to the mice. But that it was the equivalent for us humans, 150-pound human of that. And the females shortened the lives of the female mice. The male mice both developed diseases and developed impotence. So, and weren't able to capture their mates, meaning the women avoided the males who had the higher blood sugar levels and the higher sugar exposure because the males weren't able to defend their territory against other male mice. So, sugar is bad. What is bad is your blood sugar level, and what that indicates to us is how do you then decrease your blood sugar level? Well, there's some really keen and cool ways to do it. One is, since sugar is absorbed in the intestine, not in your stomach, slowing your stomach from emptying, that is, keeping your stomach from emptying so the sugar doesn't get to your intestine where it gets absorbed from, slowing your stomach emptying decreases the risk of that high blood sugar. And the easy way of decreasing your stomach from emptying is have a little healthy fat 30 minutes before you're going to have the meal that has sugar in it. What do I mean healthy fat? Well, just 6 walnut halves or 12 almonds or 20 peanuts 30 minutes before a meal is enough to slow the absorption of that sugar down so you keep your blood sugar under 110. Really remarkable stuff. That is using a little healthy fat to do it. And while we're on healthy fats, we should talk about one of the other benefits of healthy fat, that is the omega-7 fat. So all of us know fish oil has omega-3 fat, but fish oil also, if you actually don't get the purified fish oil, but get the fish itself, such as salmon, it has omega-7 fat in it. And in a series decreases hepatic fat, that is liver fat accumulation, which decreases inflammation in your body. So maybe that's a reason why the actual whole fish is better than the fish oil supplements. We don't know that. So when people say, what supplements do I take? I take both DHA, omega-3. DHA, omega-3 is the active ingredient in fish oil. I get it from algae, that's the DHA omega-3, because it is good for my brain and my eyes. There's some pretty good data. It decreases your risk of cognitive decline, and it decreases the first stage, the common stage of macular degeneration. The second thing I take is that omega-7, and it's purified omega-7 because it increases the cells, that is my muscle cells, ability to take up glucose and get the blood glucose lower by putting the glucose into the cell where it does its good deed and doesn't do harm. And it also decreases that liver fat and thus decreases inflammation. So what we have is some good news on the, if you will, ability to lower blood sugar.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. At the end of the hour, the tip of the week. This week, well, I want to hear our guests so much that I'm going to do the tip of the week before the half hour this time. So we're going to have it in about 10 minutes. We'll have the tip of the week. Our guest coming up at half past, Benjamin Gilmore, Around the World by Ambulance, the book Paramedico. It's a great, literally a great book. The He's from Australia. Watch Paramedico, the film. Apparently there's a film on Paramedico, but the website is www.paramedico.com.au for Australia. The book is a wonderful book. It's published actually by Murdoch Books. I wonder if that's relating to the Murdoch who is related to the book company. But in any case, I mean, that sounds obvious, the news company I meant. In any case, Paramedico from Benjamin Gilmore in Australia. I'm really looking forward to interviewing him because this does look like a great book talking about the different health in the different country. Did you know there's a new health, if you will, rating for buildings? You probably know about LEED. LEED certifies how environmentally friendly and sustainable it is. Well, the WELL standard, W-E-L-L, has now been coming out by Delos Living. Delos, working with Columbia and our own Cleveland Clinic, has come out with standards for how healthy a room is for you. It does air purification, the time of lighting, the quality of lighting, the quality of allergens in the room, etc., the quality of water, and that's how the WELL standard has been established. We'll hear more about that. We're going to interview one of the people who has come up with this standard from Delos Living and what they've done. They now have it in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. I understand they had 24 rooms. They've been selling out of those healthy rooms. Obviously, if you're in Las Vegas and want a smoke-free room and really want a smoke-free room, this is maybe the only way of getting it, the WELL standard at the MGM Grand. They've now gone up to 48 rooms because the 24 that were WELL standard were selling out so quickly. We also have a number of other stories relating to, if you will, the genes, and that is the changes in genes with your changes in behavior. We know now that, in fact, managing stress, that is, if you did mindful meditation or meditation, you can turn off genes that cause inflammation, turn on genes that promote health. Well, there are a number of things that have been shown in the last 2 weeks that also help you change which of your genes are on or not. So one of these was exercise, and in fact, exercise changes your fat cells, turns off the cells that produce fat, and turns on the cells that produce more muscle tissue. Very interesting. So that you really do get to control your genes by your activities. Another one of the things that changes, if you will, is your feelings of happiness. When you have happiness out of generosity rather than hedonistic happiness, I don't know, whatever you want to call hedonistic happiness. I guess taking cocaine would give you hedonistic happiness if you had it for the first time. Hedonistic happiness turns on genes that cause inflammation. That appreciative happiness turns on genes that cause, in fact, a decrease in inflammation or an increase in well-being. So the message is we get to control our genes to a great deal, and that simple things that we're knowing now control them. You probably all know that we thought there were somehow 300,000 genes when we started the genomics process to identify them. We now know that most humans have someplace around 22,000 genes. What's the other 278,000 parts of the DNA that would make up what you call your genes? Well, they're switches that turn your genes on or off. And it's apparently exercise. It's apparently this, if you will, appreciative feelings of happiness, of thanking people, and food choices that turn your genes, that change which of your gene switches are on or not. So gene switches, we're going to hear much more about those in the coming days. Now I'm going to do a tip of the week, because this is such an interesting tip of the week. So Sonar, I don't know if you've got the tip of the week music. And this is 9 Surprising Reasons You Can't Fall Asleep. Every once in a while, you have a bad night's sleep and you know exactly why. You found yourself at the coffee maker at 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. Or maybe it's your allergies. They kill me when I go to a new pillow, and meaning in a hotel, and it's a pillow that has, if you will, not a foam pillow or not an allergic pillow. I have to recover it. Well, if you will, some of the other things that are problematic in your sleep. You slept in on Saturday and Sunday, and you reset your wake-up time. So you have what's called social jet lag, and that won't let you sleep without a fight. It's a full moon. Yeah, the lunar cycle does seem to have some effect on our sleep, at least according to a small study. Researchers found that during the nights around a full moon, people get less deep sleep, less total sleep, and take about 5 extra minutes to fall asleep. Looking at it from society, that's a lot of lost sleep. Your room is too cold or too hot. You might think you know what makes a cozy bedroom, but there's actual research examining optimal sleeping temperatures. Generally, the sweet spot is individual, but it's someplace between 60 and 67 degrees, and people find that if you're below 54 or above 75, that's very disruptive, but that each of us has a sleep temperature point. So your point may be ideal at 71 or at 69, but you've got to find your ideal. You're not wearing socks. Even if you've set your thermostat correctly, some people are just disposed to having colder than comfortable extremities. That can be a problem at bedtime, since warm hands and feet are part of a delicate thermoregulatory dance, that is, temperature dance, that you do to predict how quickly you fall asleep. It's too quiet. Yeah, you think you want your sleep sanctuary absolutely quiet, but in fact, it's the inconsistency of sound that becomes much more evident and disruptive. So what can you do? You can get a white noise machine that always makes the same sound if that's a problem for you. You're afraid of the dark? Some people actually don't go to bed when it's dark. You just ate a steak for dinner. That's right. Heavy protein meals, heavy spicy foods, heavy fatty foods take longer to digest, makes your stomach work longer, and keeps you up longer. It's much better, and we'll find that out in another study this week, to eat a big meal at breakfast and a small meal at dinner, something I haven't done for a while, but I'm going to try and start doing. You're exhausted. That is, you're really too tired to fall asleep. And, of course, you share a bed, but it actually isn't with a mate. It's sharing a bed with a pet, because every time the pet moves because of an outside sound or something, that pet disrupts you. The real age benefit of getting a great night's sleep, it's at least 3 years younger when you do it consistently. So what do you want? 6.5 to 8 hours of sleep time every night to be a consistent sleep time. When we come back from the break, we're going to get to talk to Benjamin Gilmore. This is a wonderful book. I've never read anything he's written before. Apparently he has written one other, novel or book. But this is a great book, Paramedico, Around the World by Ambulance by Benjamin Gilmore. We'll hear it in just a second. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world.
It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We have a tremendous guest. I read this book. I've told you about it already. Paramedico, Paramedico. Wonderful book. Benjamin Gilmore is the author. He's an Australian paramedic who for 15 years has worked with ambulance and services in America, England, Iceland, Macedonia, Mexico, Pakistan, the Philippines, South Africa, and Thailand. And Paramedico is really a brilliant collection of the stories of his wild adventures, but it's really brilliant written as well. This is a fast read. This is a great book for summer, a great book for any time. In fact, it is just wonderful. Mr. Gilmore, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Mike.
Now tell me, Benjamin, what's the difference? I know the difference, but and your book illustrates it beautifully, but what's the difference between an ambulance driver and a paramedic? Don't all ambulance drivers have to be paramedics?
Well, in most parts of the world now, they have to be trained to some degree of emergency care. So either emergency medical technician, EMT, or paramedic, and even intensive care paramedics in some locations who are specialized in the field. Now, say going back 30 years or more, back then it was more common for ambulance workers to be referred to as drivers because that is largely what they did. They may have had some oxygen and some wooden splints, but that was about the extent of it. The emergency medical profession, particularly in the out-of-hospital setting, the ambulance setting, has come a long way in 30 years. It's progressed rapidly, and now paramedics are able to do as much as any doctor could do outside of a hospital setting without the diagnostics of X-rays and CT. So right now around the world, and certainly in developed countries, paramedics are no longer referred to as ambulance drivers as they used to be.
And in fact, you point out the difference, for example, in England, where Henry, which is a person, the ambulance driver in the story, is very different, it seems, than a paramedic. and he gets his kicks not out of saving people, but almost out of driving crazily through the streets with his ambulance lights and sounds on.
Well, interesting you should mention my time in England, because this is the one country where I didn't work for the state-run ambulance service and worked instead for a private company. Now, being Australian, we don't really have private ambulance services down here, as you might say in the US or in the UK, and very tightly regulated in Australia. So it's unusual for me to experience slightly gung-ho, cowboy-like service where ambulance, well, they were essentially ambulance drivers ferrying patients from one place to another, were a little bit out of whack, a little bit loose, let's say, in their professionalism.
And so he... Well, let me go and flip to another country, if you will. Although I found the opening story of you as an ambulance, if you will, alone as both the ambulance driver and paramedic, and needed volunteers to drive in the outback in Australia.
Yes, indeed. And I started off as a paramedic very young. I was 19. That's young in Australia. Certainly not young in some other places in the world, and we might talk about that later. In Pakistan, you have even children working on ambulances, which is quite shocking. But in the outback of Australia, I was sent there. It was very hard to get paramedics to work out in these very remote towns, and yet the government here has a promise that it makes to the public that it will have an ambulance at your doorstep within 8 to 10 minutes, wherever you happen to be. Australia is an enormous country, and a lot of it is very sparsely populated and vast areas of just nothingness. And there was this small town that I got sent to where I attended one emergency every fortnight, but usually that was a very serious trauma on the road. And there were no choppers, no helicopters for emergency evacuation back then in 1997. When I was posted there, and I didn't have a partner, so I drove to the scene as a young guy and had to extricate these patients and treat them and stabilize them and transport them, sometimes more than an hour, sometimes 3 or 4 hours to the closest trauma hospital. So it was a lot of pressure very early on in my career, but made for some very exciting, hair-raising moments.
Well, one of the things I almost couldn't believe was that you actually would pull aside and take their blood pressure. You'd stop the ambulance, you'd drive off the road and park for a second and take the blood pressure to make sure it was stable or to adjust fluid volumes or the IVs that were infusing, and then start driving again.
That was very awkward, yes. I mean, I would have to angle the rear vision mirror. I think, I don't know whether you call it the rear vision mirror in America, but you'd angle it down as I drove onto the patient in the back of the ambulance so I could keep an eye on the patient. I'd have the cardiac monitor volume up so I could hear the tapping of the heartbeat, and I wouldn't, you know, and so it was very difficult to assess the patient when you had to pull over every now and then and do a blood pressure. I mean, and occasionally I would have to recruit a member of the public to drive the ambulance for me. And there were moments when I couldn't find a sober person to drive. So these were the situation, the dilemmas that you're faced with. And, it does make for some quite riveting stories.
We should say there was also
Yes, you there? So one of the interesting things was, as a young man out there in the bush, I only later found out that one of the great American authors, journalists and authors, Ernest Hemingway, had actually himself figured out very early on that to be at the forefront of action, wherever the action happened to be, the best way of doing that was to jump on an ambulance. Of course, very few ambulance services will let journalists simply ride along and observe what's going on. And so the only way to do it really is to become a paramedic yourself. In a sense, when Ernest Hemingway did that around 1918, I mean, he applied for the Red Cross that was recruiting out of Kansas City and then was sent to the Italian front. And I remember reading about one of the first jobs, one of the first emergencies that Hemingway went to, a large explosion at a munitions factory in Milan. And his, being faced with such a serious emergency where, and I've been to bomb blasts myself, and and they are very, very confronting. But he was faced with multiple casualties, and many of them in very bad shape. And then I think he realized that being a paramedic was going to offer him an insight into humanity and an insight into humans under pressure and real crisis moments. And I think that is what comes out in Paramedico, the book. What I wanted to share with people were these stories that they're not ordinarily able to be aware of, because it's very rare to get inside an ambulance. Film cameras can't get in there either. So, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I wrote the book.
It's a great book, Paramedico. When we come back, I'm going to talk about two countries that I've visited that have ambulance services and very different ambulance services in them. One is Johannesburg, South Africa, and how much trauma there is there. Listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, will be right.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. Very proud
of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases, and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Juliana and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to Parents Guide. cordblood.org to learn.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. One of the books we're talking about today is Benjamin Gilmore's. It's a great book, Paramedico, Around the World by Ambulance. I couldn't put it down. It was so riveting in the writing style. So, Ben Gilmore, you have an extra wonderful talent in writing in addition to being a paramedic. But he is an Australian paramedic who for 15 years worked ambulance services in America, England, Iceland, Macedonia, Mexico, Pakistan, the Philippines, South Africa, and Thailand. And by far the one that I related to most was the one in South Africa. I should say that one of the things I did is that when I was way back when, this is in 1973, maybe 72, in Cambridge City in Boston, Massachusetts, or near Boston, Massachusetts. Cambridge City is across the river. I rode in an ambulance for about a week trying to learn what they did. And in fact, the settings are so real that the ones you bring up, Benjamin Gilmore, are exactly the same. I also was privileged to work for 2 weeks when I was well into my career in probably 1991 or two, in Baraguana, which is the hospital you delivered many patients to across from Soweto in Johannesburg, what's called Joburg in South Africa. And so the stories were really real there, and you described them beautifully. What did you think of your time there?
Yeah, well, it was quite an eye-opener, Dr. Mike, in Johannesburg. And coming from Australia, we don't really have much violence down here. We don't have a gun culture, and we certainly don't have the murder rate that Johannesburg in South Africa has and has had. And so it, you know, riding out with the paramedics there was quite an eye opener. And I worked at Barrow Granith Hospital for a little bit as well, and it was really quite horrific. I mean, you would think that in that environment, paramedics would be worried about getting shot, and of course they are, because sometimes people, you know, snipe at them, and a lot of the paramedics wear bulletproof vests. I had to wear a bulletproof vest on a regular basis. Some of the paramedics are even armed. However, their greatest fear, particularly paramedics working around the townships, was hepatitis C, HIV, and those are communicable diseases that come with regular exposure to blood from trauma. And I found that very interesting, that when in sub-Saharan Africa you've got potentially more than 20% of the population who are HIV positive, that's a natural concern for paramedics who are working in an environment where the majority of their emergencies involve blood and blood exposure. So these things came up, which I found really interesting, and they made their way into the book.
Right, and in a brilliant way you wrote about this, and I found it really absolutely both riveting and excellent. The other thing you talk about in this area, if you will, just the size of Barrow Granith, just imagine the largest of the U.S. hospitals from a standpoint of number of births per year is maybe around 20,000. Barrow Granith had 63,000, and the number of emergency, what we call C-sections, etc., and any Friday night there were 10 or 12 going on, and one anesthesiologist running from room to room to room to room to try and keep up, while one anesthesiologist, and for the 10 or 12 patients. And the same thing for the trauma. I mean, there must have been 10 trauma rooms that were full knife and gun club, all out life or death struggles in those rooms.
Well, that's it. And 24 hours. I mean, I remember Joburg General Hospital, 24 hours. They had six, when I was there, six trauma bays with full surgical teams on standby, or actually conducting surgery, you know, around the clock. And when you think that not just the gun crime, but even a simple motor vehicle accident in a country where you have minibuses that are typically, you know, full of people, sometimes a dozen people. Say you've got a minibus with 10 people having a head-on collision with another minibus of 10 people. So you go to a motor vehicle accident in Johannesburg, and you're dealing with 20 casualties, and at high speed, some of them are very critical. So these patients are coming in all the time by ambulance. And I remember arriving on scene at an incident where a big semi-trailer, a big semi, went through a restaurant. And there were people lying everywhere. It was absolute mayhem. And the paramedics I was working with at the time were so calm and so cool because to them it was very normal, because this is something they deal with on a daily basis.
Now, the other one, there's another city you loved working in, I think, or it comes out in the book how much enthusiasm you have, is Venice.
Yes. Well, I mean, there are a lot of interesting things about the Venetian chapter. And, I mean, the book is in, you know, it's not a clinical book. It's about the adventures that I have with paramedics and the challenges that they face around the world in different places. And Venice is a particular city because, to a large extent, paramedics there are still operating in the way that perhaps Napoleon's medics used to operate in the day, albeit they've got mugs on their ambulance boats. In the old days, they used to have ambulance gondolas. But in any case, they still face the problem of high tide. Now, when the tide in Venice is high, the ambulance boats can't fit under many of the bridges, so therefore they can't proceed to the to the emergency. Or at least they can't get close to an emergency. So that's a problem. The other problem is in the winter. Throughout the year there can be flooding, particularly in the winter, a flooding of the alleyways, and you know, a good percentage of Venice goes underwater. So the paramedics actually have to don fly fishing boots to wade, you know, sometimes half an hour through the small alleyways to reach the patient, fling the patient on their shoulders and wade back to the boat. And it's quite a challenge, you know, something that we in Australia or America or England never really have to face.
Now, the other one of the other cities, and by the way, I can't say how much fun this book is. Whether you have any relationship to medicine or just want to read a fast read that's fun, Paramedico, Paramedico. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Has it turned into a movie now?
Yes, well, it is. In four of the cities, namely Lahore in Pakistan, and I've helped with the ambulance service development there in Lahore, and it's really quite a Pakistan is a fascinating country. I mean, there's always something going on there. You know, there's never a dull moment. And then Mexico City, of course, Mexico is facing the narco problems with the narcotics, and they've got a lot of violence there. And then Hawaii, and so in some of these places, I took a camera and I filmed a documentary. The documentary is now available for viewing from our website, paramedico.com.au.
So we're going to have to go. All I can say is this is a great book, Paramedico by Benjamin Gilmore, G-I-L-M-O-U-R.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.